Today on Real Radio.
The Bible tells us that Jesus is our liberator from the power of sin. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives."
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the all-important holiday we're celebrating this week. It's an entire series called The Jesus of Christmas. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in this series with the presentation called The Jesus of Christmas Present, He Who Is.
And somebody, even in a sermon or a message, somebody might say something from the pulpit or maybe a counselor, and it hurts. What do you think God is doing? You think God wants to hurt you? He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to get the poison out. He wants to get that wrong out of there. And he begins to massage the deepest part of our souls to get that pain out. And he's at work. Let Jesus Christ in as the Lord of your life and experience his hand of healing and work. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I live with you. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives," because the world says, "I'll give you some peace. It's the peace of this and a piece of that, and at the end, you still don't have the whole thing." Jesus says, "Not like the world gives. I'm going to give you peace," he says. And then he goes on to that wonderful verse, John 14, 27, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Isn't that wonderful? "Don't be afraid," Jesus said in John 14. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus, or the scripture, I should say, speaks to us. Grace is fantastic. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Now, tomorrow, you're going to get gifts, or tonight. Have you been good all year? Huh? Have you? There is none good. No, not one, says the Bible. So that's offensive. Don't worry, you get a gift anyway. You get a gift anyway. God says, "All have sinned and come short of my glory." And just when we pack up everything and head off, and oh, Lord, who can go to heaven and who can be loved by you? He says, but salvation comes, redemption comes, deliverance comes through my Son. And so, grace. God gives grace. Mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And peace. That's this tremendous word we're talking about. Peace. It's the kind of peace, my friend, that implies that there's a storm raging and there's a little bird asleep in the storm. Peace. This morning, we were ending our prayer meeting here. We meet every morning for a 5:30 morning prayer. The church gathers together. Please come. It's a wonderful time. And then you can go to work. We were done praying at 6:30, and I walked out through this back door, and there were two big Labradors sleeping out here in the courtyard, a black one and a white one. And I opened the door, and the black one, both of them jumped up, and the black one's tail started wagging all over. In fact, that tail was wagging the dog. That tail was moving so much. And he's all happy and his tongue's hanging out. And he came over to me and he stood up and looked at me in my face. And his head is huge. And by the way, it's so cute. He's big. He's black. He was amazing. And we looked at his name tag. His name was Deacon. He was a deacon. And he knew, you know, we're lost, we're running away from home, whatever. They're out on a Christmas trip, him and his buddy. They slept at the church last night. With a name like Deacon. That's just so cool. He was so happy, so excited. He's jumping up, he's licking me. And obviously they'd been running loose. I went to the alms ministry where we feed the homeless and pulled out a can of meat and popped the lid and he ate it down. Well, his friend, we don't know who she was. It was a little white lab girl, dog. She didn't have a name tag. Couldn't find out. But as soon as I opened the door to the sanctuary here and stepped out in the courtyard, Deacon, the big black one, he's all happy. The white one took off. Tail between her legs, running around. She's hiding, looking around a pot. All nervous. Wouldn't eat a thing. Didn't get to eat. And I'm, you know, come on, come here, come here. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, forget it. And so I hung out with Deacon. And it was a funny thing because, you know what? The one dog ran and had the blessing. The other dog, fearful of everything, ran and hid and had no idea that I wanted the very best for that dog. Really, the motive to get the food was to bring it a moment, listen, to bring it a momentary comfort. You know what my motive was? We wanted to get the location. We wanted to get these dogs home. And so now it's a three-man effort, and then it became a four-man effort. And then I heard word later on, Jeff calls and says, the dogs are home. Well, you know what? Both those dogs were blessed. It took one a little while to get blessed because it was freaking out. Its emotions were all wigged out. And the other one was very trusting. Listen, when you trust the Lord, your life goes a lot better. Things are a lot easier if you trust Him. It doesn't mean things are smooth. We all have troubles. You got troubles, I got troubles. All God's people got troubles. But the awesome thing is God goes with us through our troubles. We're not alone. He's with us. This is the Jesus of Christmas. He's with us always. Jesus spoke a parable, by the way, about His love and about His grace to people who were upset and no doubt concerned about His forgiveness. And Jesus gave that famous story about the prodigal son. You know that story. Bringing comfort to the wayward soul. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think of those two dogs. One dog was fearful. The other dog was of a sound mind. Where are you in this Christmas? Thirdly, we'll consider this, the Christ of Christmas present. Who is Jesus Christ right now? And is this true in your life? Is He this person? He's our liberator from the power of sin. You know, we sing the hymns and you hear it. I was in a Starbucks today and I know Starbucks is pagan. I know all about that Starbucks. I look them up on the internet. They invest in horrible things. And you say, well, what are you doing going to a Starbucks for? Because we don't have a coffee house yet. We need to get one. But you know what? Hey, let the light shine, you know? Go to Starbucks. And by the way, I wasn't at our Starbucks. I was at the other Starbucks. Because we have our own Starbucks. Did you know that? We invaded the one that's over here by the restaurant. And if I ever want to meet you, I would just go there. You're there. But Starbucks has got all of its weird thing and all this stuff. But the cool thing is, you know what? When you walk into a Starbucks, the light shines. You go in there. Why do I bring that up? Because of this. Jesus is our liberator from the power of sin. And when I walked into a Starbucks today, of all places, this Starbucks not only played in a traditional Christmas hymn, but this Starbucks, as I sat there, was playing all traditional Christian hymns. And the gospel was being preached as people were flying in and out and taking the day off and sitting around. And I was listening and I saw people standing in line and they're going, angels we have heard. I'm sure they don't even know what they're saying maybe. But they're singing it. And they're talking about, listen, He came to save us from our sins. And it's coming out of their mouths. And I'm looking there and thinking, Lord, let them hear what they're saying. This is the Christmas story. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our liberator from the power of sin. He says, again, Luke 4:18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's not, and don't get me wrong, that's not an invitation to a prison ministry, though you should have one. Jesus is saying his Father has sent him to proclaim liberty to the captives. That tremendous word is a military term, and it means those who have been captured by an enemy, to those who have been taken prisoner of war. And the scripture implies clearly that Satan has come and tricked and deceived the world and has taken them captive. Jesus spoke about the captivity that Satan leads people into. But how does Jesus liberate? By untying the captive. My friend, in your life, no matter who you might be, no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus comes and sets us free if we'll just let him speak to us through the Bible. That you receive the Christmas story. Listen to this. I'll go through it quickly. Colossians 2:13 says that we were all once dead in our sins. And because of our sinful nature, we were cast away from God. Then God made you and I alive through Jesus Christ. He forgave us of all of our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. And Jesus took it away, destroying that record by nailing it to his cross. That's a reference to the Ten Commandments and all the commandments of God that we had failed. Jesus took all the stuff that you and I have done wrong in life and shall do in life. And Jesus, the Bible says, nailed the power of that penalty of death and of sin to the cross. What great news. Listen, if you don't understand it, get this. Luke 7:41. Jesus spoke a parable about it. He says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500, we'll say dollars for the argument, and the other 50 cents. And when they had nothing with wherewith to pay, he freely forgave them, telling them therefore of which of them would love the one who forgave them. And so the audience there listened to Jesus' story, and it didn't take a brain to figure out. If the man canceled the debt of the man who owed him 500 bucks and the man who owed him 50 cents, which one was forgiven the most? The man who owed the 500 bucks. So Jesus' announcement is then to which one would love the one who forgave them the most? It's the man who owed the most. The man who owes the most loves the most if that's canceled, if that debt is removed. Church, tonight, we celebrate the Christ of Christmas, and there doesn't have to be one person in here tonight to miss Christmas. What am I saying, miss Christmas? You can miss Christmas tonight by not receiving this forgiveness. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm such a huge sinner. Then come on. You qualify to love him more. You see, you can't lose. Finally, this, and we'll conclude with this, that Jesus Christ, in the present Christmas scenario, even tonight, is the giver of life. He's the giver of life for us. For the Bible says there again in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, Jesus says, to give recovery to the sight of the blind. Now, church, you know that Jesus healed blind people, but that's not the reference here. Yes, he did that. But what's interesting is that Jesus gave recovery of the sight to the blind. The word here in the Greek means this, that those who could not see their way clearly, they were, the word is opaque, they couldn't see the path. Jesus says, I've come to give you sight to the blind. And I just want to say this before we conclude. You may say, Jack, how does that apply to me? If you tonight can receive the Christmas story, when Simeon held Jesus up, he said, this child has been brought into the world for the rise and for the fall of many. Jesus said at his death, the Son of Man be lifted up, that is the cross, I will draw all men to me. Isn't it interesting, my friend, that the Christmas story is an announcement of love, and people love it or they hate it? Isn't it interesting? They'll either receive it or they're fighting against it. Stop Christmas! You'll either accept it or you'll reject it. Isn't that just like our God? He refuses to let anyone be neutral because he is who he is, and he will not let some neutrality or gray area go by. He says, look to me and I'll save you. The Bible also says, reject him and you'll be lost. Notice, he's willing to save anybody and everybody. Well, the choice is yours. And then Jesus ends this brief little sermon of his in Luke 4 when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The oppressed. What is the oppressed? The oppressed, the word is pretty dramatic. It means, listen, it's cruel. To be oppressed. Jesus says, I've come to liberate you. The word to be oppressed here is the word to be almost crushed to the point of being almost smashed. You hear the word almost? I'm almost dead. There's nothing worse than being almost dead. To be oppressed. Listen, this is Christmas Eve. Did you know that this week, tonight, tomorrow, is the peak suicide season? Because people are so oppressed, they don't think that there's a message tonight. They don't think that Jesus loves them. They don't think there's hope. And so they're oppressed. The word implies that there's a plank or a weight upon them, and they're almost crushed. How cruel is that? It's like you're laying there. You know, your body's about now reduced down to about 5 inches thickness. You're still alive. You want to die, but you're not dead. And you can't even do anything about it because you're smashed. A sense of hopelessness or no meaning. And you're laying there and it's, oh, what am I going to do? My friend, there's Christmas. You say, well, a present can't help me now unless it's a crane. Pick this up. God doesn't send a crane to the oppression of your soul. He sends the name of Jesus, that the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Yes, that's true, but it's the name of Jesus that sets us free. It's the name of Jesus that we worship and that we say, I want the Christ of Christmas. I want to receive Jesus as my gift. And that's what I want to offer you tonight. Is to receive the Christ of Christmas. Jesus said in John chapter 8, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And I want to ask you tonight, do you have the Son of God in your life? What is your hope tonight? What will be your hope tomorrow? Noah Webster defines hope as something that you are fully, absolutely leaning upon. What is that? Every one of us has an answer, you know, to that question. What is our hope? Well, it's my financial portfolio, you might say. Ooh, I bought an oil well. Could go dry. Got a new car. Clearance blowout. It'll get scratched. In fact, there's ushers out there right now scratching all your cars just to... while you're sitting here, just to bring you to that spiritual place. Well, I'm young and healthy and nothing, you know, I can conquer the world. your day's coming. My goodness, we heard of an 18-year-old recently dropping dead of a heart attack. I told you a couple of Sundays ago, 47-year-old man came forward. I met him right over here at the base of these stairs. He was with his family, the whole clan. And he was fine. And he said, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. He prays to accept the Lord. He gets a Bible. And don't ever tell me God is not good. Six days. He said, I'll be here next week. Bring friends next week. We'll be back next week. He was not back next week. The man was down in Mexico and died of a heart attack. Now, the Bible says that God knew the day of this man's departure. God knows every one of our days and where we'll enter into eternity. But God reached into that man's life 6 days before he entered eternity. Jesus threw him a life raft and he took it. Yeah. And I want to ask you this tonight, my friend. My friend, tonight, will you take the life raft that Jesus offers to you? This could be the most glorious, life-changing Christmas ever. It's your choice. God extends a gift to you right now, and it's your choice to take that gift or to turn and walk away. It's free because it costs God everything. It's free. What I didn't point out to you tonight is the closing bookends. Jesus Christ himself said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Meaning, "Thus saith the Lord." Jesus speaks. And then that teaching concludes with this bookend on the other side. Jesus said, "I've come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That word means, the Bible says, "For he made him," God the Father made Jesus, "who knew no sin at all, to become sin for us." Imagine that. "That we might receive or become the righteousness of God through Christ. We then as workers together," you can hear Paul the Apostle's pleading, "we then as workers together plead with you not to receive this grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation." That's great. Jesus said, "I've come and I've preached in the acceptable year." Could this be your year right now? Could 2004 end with you being saved, knowing that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I'm going to give you that opportunity right now to make that decision. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we come before you now and we thank you. That, Lord, either tonight we are either celebrating Christmas or we're still kind of trying to catch on to what's going on around here. We're still trying to figure out what it's all about. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'd move upon our hearts. And Lord, move in this place and right here, right now, that you'd speak to hearts, stir them up. And I want you to think about right now this question. I want you to ask yourself this. If I died today, would I go to heaven? If I died today, would Christ accept me? If I die today, this week, next year, would I see the glories of God's incredible, wonderful, loving throne?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called "The Jesus of Christmas," a look at the true meaning and historicity of the holiday we're celebrating this week. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us and tell a friend. Of course, on Monday's edition of Real Radio, we'll resume our series in Ephesians 4 called "United in the Gifts." And if you'd like to hear it again, here's some good news. It's now available on MP3 CD. In addition, we're including R.A. Torrey's book, "The Baptism with the Holy Spirit." Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send them your way. Remember, this includes Jack's series, "United in the Gifts," on MP3 CD and R.A. Torrey's classic book, "The Baptism with the Holy Spirit." There is more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you a very Merry Christmas.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.